Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. Today, I actually have a very special friend of mine, Don Tucker. He's back again. We took down Cobra Kai. Now we're going to take down The Devil in Hell's Kitchen by reviewing the first two episodes of Daredevil Born Again.
What's going on? Excited to talk about The Devil.
Yes, The Devil of Hell's Kitchen. Or should we say The Devil of Manhattan now? Because, or New York City.
Yeah. I like that they referenced Spider-Man in this too.
Me too. We'll get into that in just a minute.
I know.
But I have a little bit of an announcement beforehand.
Okay.
We're actually sponsored by another company. We are actually sponsored by WWE. So nice. Before we dive into Daredevil Born Again, let's talk about something just as epic. The WWE store. That's right, folks. If you ever wanted to dress like you just won the Royal Rumble or at least like you barely survived the Attitude Era street fight, then WWE shop has you covered. Want a John Cena shirt to so bright that even Daredevil could see it? They got it. Need a champion belt to wear around the house?
John Cena, so you can't see the shirt technically.
No, you cannot see him. Unfortunately, it's an invisible thing. You can let it be whatever you want it to be. That's a beautiful thing about owning a John Cena shirt. Right. Even Matt himself wouldn't even know what he was wearing. Well, that was bad. But anyways, if you want a John Cena shirt so bright that even Daredevil could see it, they got it. Need a championship belt to wear around the house and make your dog acknowledge you as the tribal chief? Boom, it's yours. So head over to WWE, use promo code Daredevil. Not really. That's not actually the code. But I'll tell you what is the real code on it, though. And that is WWE29. So get yourself some merch and go over to the WWE store. Type in WWE29. You can actually find that in the link below this video. And also, too, we also have – but still, grab yourself some gear before Vince finds another way to – repackage LA Knight as Yeah Man, McMahon. Now, back to Daredevil, where Matt Murdock may not see what's coming, but you sure the hell can. So anyways, man, I just want to say this. This is actually hands down my most anticipated show to watch aside from Cobra Kai. I was excited about it whenever it first got announced that we were going to have all the actors back again. We got Foggy back. We got Karen back. Mm-hmm. We also have Matt Murdock himself, with Charlie Cox coming back. I was excited and ecstatic for it. And
yeah,
so I know that they did a bunch of reshoots, and not only reshoots, but they also did a lot of rewriting for it. They scrapped the whole entire thing, and then they winded up giving us this, and it fits the tone within Netflix itself, and that's something that I was wondering about. Are they going to still keep that slow tone? Are they still going to keep it the way it was? Because I binged all three seasons, and they did. They kept it exactly the way I liked it. Mm-hmm. But overall, what did you think of the tone of it? What did you think of?
Oh, I think they nailed it for sure. They definitely, I mean, that opening fight nails it. I mean, it's those long raid style fights that just go up and down floors, through windows, through, you know what I mean? It's just insane, man. And it's not technically one shot, but it feels like a one shot. You know what I mean? It just feels that way. It feels so gritty and it feels like a real fight because neither, you know, both of them are climbing up the stairs, holding on to the rail. It's so well done. I love the way they do these shows. So yeah, I'm glad they kept that feeling for sure. For sure.
Same here.
I'm glad because we got a really freaking cool Daredevil and Bullseye fight, man. Like really freaking cool.
That was cool to actually see was the fact that, you know, we actually get some light to the darkness that's about to happen. Of course, when everybody's happy, that's when the shit goes down anyways. But, man, you know, I loved it when.
Man, it's tough.
It really was. And, you know, I liked seeing Karen. I liked seeing Foggy back in it again. I liked seeing Josie's bar again. I liked seeing that again.
Yep.
Because it feels more like a character in itself when you think of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. Because especially in that like show, man. And that show, it's a big part of the show. So, yeah, for sure.
And I like how it sets up where, like, we don't know what's going on with Foggy or anything either.
Yeah.
And so there's like a little bit of mystery element. It's like, well, what the hell is Foggy doing? Because Matt doesn't know what's going on. So he gets a call. Then of course, Matt winds up hiring it up, going up to the rooftop while Foggy's also going, to try and stop this assassination from happening or something happening to his client. But I was on the edge of my seat the whole entire time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree 100%. I was on the edge of it because I did not expect that to happen. When he figured it out, I figured it out. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Foggy's the actual target. I was like, holy crap. And then they're talking for a second and then just bam, and he's down. I'm like, they're not going to do this right now. And then him knowing what's happening and coming back and oh man, just getting there and that shove, dude, I felt that shove.
I did too.
When he pushes him off the roof, dude, I felt that. It was just get out of my face. Get the heck, like, it was.
Dude, I'm going to be real with you. Like, okay, the CGI for me, seeing the rooftop scene kind of took me out of it a little bit. I'm like, okay, I have to remember this is not Netflix.
Sin City-esque.
Right.
Very Sin City-esque. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't have that atmospheric thing of a city thing or anything like that. There was no need for the CGI. They could have just basically edited and chopped it up to where you see him coming onto the roof. And I wanted it set like Netflix, but Netflix winded up spoiling me a little bit because I was not expecting the CGI. The huh?
You think that was the volume since it's through Disney technically?
I think it might be just the directing style and Disney. Yeah. I think it's because of Disney because they want to CGI everything.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. I did notice that too. I mean, it didn't take me out like you, but it definitely, I noticed it. I definitely noticed it. Like, yeah, that's not real at all.
No,
like, that's not real.
But here's the thing. That's like a little small nitpicky thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, as long as that's like the minor thing, I'm good to go.
Sure.
You know? So now the part with Bullseye in him fighting on the rooftop. And then you can definitely tell whenever he shoots Foggy, you can hear the pain in Matt.
Yeah. Sure.
And we've always seen where Matt doesn't always cross that boundary of him being a cold-blooded killer or anything. We've seen it a couple of times where he steps that boundary, but he doesn't. And this one, he full-blood does it. Punisher makes him
almost go there a couple times.
Yeah. But not like this, though.
No.
But he winds up, and I agree, I could actually feel the impact of Bullseye hitting the ground when when Matt winds up pushing him off the building. And then that sudden stop.
And that scream he gives, and then the one that she gives too, over Falk. It was so well done, so well shot. I think that was actually probably my favorite part of that whole beginning is the way it was shot, cut back and forth between the two, and just the, oh man, it was
just showing the pain and the emotional damage that is done for the both of them, not just for Matt, because Matt has the emotional attachment to Foggy because of his college years, but for Karen though too, because she worked with Matt and also Foggy too. Yeah. So you're seeing the emotional damage being played out between the two of them, and it pulls on your heartstrings because you're just that much. You're like them. You're in pain as they are.
Yeah. Oh, I love Foggy, man. Foggy's great.
Same. He was like the light and heart.
Was really good. Yeah.
Right. And that was like the light and heart of Matt. And now that's gone.
Yep.
And I don't blame him. He's like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? It's like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I don't blame him at all for going away for a year and getting out of the business per se.
And I thought it was ballsy though to kill off Foggy.
Oh, it is.
It's like, okay, yeah, we're going to give you everything you asked for, fans. We're going to give you everything, but we're going to kill Foggy.
And it's a way to get rid of Karen too, because she moves away. And now she's, where did they say she was? California? I think San Francisco?
Yeah, somewhere around that area.
Something like that, yeah. So she's not even around.
No, and it leaves Matt by himself in a very vulnerable state for a whole year.
Yeah.
And then you don't see her come back until... You know, you have that whole entire, when you had the funeral happen.
Yeah.
And stuff like that too. So you had the funeral that happens. And then after that happens, you see finally after over a year, you see the trial of Bullseye.
Yeah. Yeah. That was they just kind of show him as a psychopath. Like he's just a hired psychopath. That's really all he is. So I really like the way they played that. He's not going to come back at this point, right?
I think he will. I think Fisk might try to figure out a way to use him.
Fisk get him out? Fisk like pardon him or something?
Maybe. I could see it. But although he wanted to kill, although I don't know if he would. If he
pardons him, man, Matt Murdock's going to be like, okay, now you've crossed the line. Like after that talk they had, that's going to be like, no, there is no way. You're pardoning this dude. Like,
I don't think Fisk would bail him out because of the fact, don't forget, on season 3, he tried killing him though too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's no chance that he bails him out, I think. I think he's on his own. Hmm. I don't see Bullseye getting out of prison.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't see him getting out. No. I think he's done. So yeah.
I think it was a perfect way to actually have his character arc in there, especially when you see that bar scene where he's throwing shit and he's like, here's a pool ball for you. Here's a chair for you. He's just throwing shit. Mm-hmm. And if he wanted you dead, he wanted you dead. But I think that now this is me speculating. I don't think that any of those people died. I think it was just serious, injuries and stuff like that. Because if he wanted you dead, he would find a way to kill you. You already seen that play out in the newspaper.
He had two counts of murder. I think it was the one cop and the Foggy.
Well, don't forget, they also had the newspaper thing too that happened on season 3 as well, where he killed everybody in where Karen worked.
That is true.
If they're going to talk, we're talking canon, but still.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. That's fair. Damn. Okay. So they got him. It would have been like 7 or 8 counts then at that point.
Right. But I love the lawyer aspect of this show because I wanted like a Law and Order in Daredevil that we didn't get from season 2 with Matt. And, you know, and then you find out seeing Karen, she gives him the Daredevil horn to resemble back over to, you know, his old ways of doing things. And then we get Fisk coming in to see Vanessa. But let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because, wow, is she mad. She is super mad at him right now. Like, yeah. It's interesting to see him so, like, strong, but so vulnerable at the same time. Like, and D'Onofrio,
Francis D'Onofrio,
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio is just so good at it. He's so good at playing this, like, child, like almost childlike person that's like super in love with this woman and can't do anything about that. Like that scene on the roof with them where he's like, I know about Adam. And she's like, please don't kill him. He's just like, I'm not that mad anymore. Like the fact that he's just like, I'm not mad enough to kill him anymore. Like I'm still mad about it, but I'm just not going to kill him.
Like, right. There's other things I have to worry about, like with his political stuff.
I like their relationship now, but it scares the shit out of me.
Because she's just as brutal as he is.
Yeah.
She if not 10 times worse.
Brutal. Yeah. Cause she was nothing like this in the show before.
Well, in season 3, she was manning the cameras and stuff like that towards the end of it.
She started to find out things, but he tried to keep it separate from her at first, and she was just a nice girl, like a good woman. Like she was, you know, she had an art business, and like she didn't really do anything crazy like that until him, right?
Season 3 is whenever she starts telling Fisk, "Do not hide anything from me. If I'm going to go all in with you, you need to be one. I need to be 100% in."
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's when, yeah. And then she also gives the order to whack somebody on season 3.
I got to rewatch that. It's been a long time.
I've binged the whole entire thing. That's how I remember all this shit. but she ends up giving him but here's the thing. She gives the order to whack somebody. Mm-hmm. And the concierge that he has, he goes, well, one or two things. We can either kill this guy or we can leave him to be alive and let it be a benefit for us. And she goes, no. She's too much of a loose cannon or something like that to that effect, and he needs to go. So that happened in season 3. So Vanessa's 10 times worse than what she was in season 3 of Daredevil.
Gotcha. Yeah, because now she threw it right in his face. She's like, and I freaking made this business bigger than you ever could have. Like, she says it like 3 times to his face. Like, right to his face. Like,
I'm running this shit now, not you. I'm the one who had to put up with all this stuff and let me in this bind because you went off to lose weight.
You disappeared. Yeah, basically. You disappeared, got shot in the head, and then was in a coma.
Well, he didn't get shot in the head. Matt beat the fuck out of him.
He got shot in the head in Hawkeye. Or Echo. Echo shoots him in the face.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah. That's why he has his scar right here now.
Okay. That's right. I forgot all about that because I remember on Hawkeye. Okay.
He was in a coma.
Yeah, the gun went off. Okay.
Yep. He didn't die from it, obviously, but he was in a coma. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense because I'm just going based off of season 3 and then, okay.
That's what she said. You left me, disappeared, and then you were in a coma. She was like, I didn't know what to do. She's like, I just took over the bed and ran it. She's like, I just did what I had to do.
Right.
Like, now you just want to come back.
Right. And it's kind of like she's jaded with this business side to the point that she's not going to get out of this.
Yeah.
And, well, and
also it is kind of weird how like he has a reputation as the kingpin. Like it's not like nobody knows who he is. And then he decides to run for mayor randomly. Like it is kind of a weird thing. And he wins. And I'm just like, oh man, I'm like, this is not going to be good.
Well, remember, he was trying to run for some political thing, though, in the in season 3 as well.
I think that was this. I think they were the same thing, just kind of like, leading into the same,
Right.
Because he was talking about he needed the petitions in Hawkeye or whatever.
That's right.
It was either Hawkeye or Echo, whatever.
Echo, because remember, he doesn't show up like towards the end of Hawkeye. So it hadn't been Echo.
Yeah, because he's talking about the petition. He needs the signatures. And then this is the beginning of this. He says, I got the signatures. It's time.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
But then we have James Gandolfini, a son that's in this.
Yes.
And I'm like, as soon as he leaned over to talk to Ben Urich's daughter.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is James all the way through. This is Tony Soprano.
You can see it for sure. Yeah.
It was so cool to see him. But,
oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%.
But I liked how Fisk winds up telling Vanessa, goes, Vanessa, I was gone. I am sorry. But I'm here now. And she's like, look, I run this now. I took this over from you. And it's like, we're going to separate the two from us just as you separated stuff from me. You can have your political shit because I don't want nothing to do with it. Anything I run, you are not going to know anything about.
Yeah.
So they're separate in that area. And so when he wins, I'm like, did he really win, or did he pull something, or did Vanessa pay for everything? That was another thing too. Even though I was thinking that it was everything was separate, part of me was like, did Vanessa manipulate things around so that way he could win? But then but that was before whenever he said, well, I have to walk the straight and narrow path. So it really made me to think that he's actually won it for real. But then you see him blackmail the commissioner.
Yeah.
Later on in episode 2.
Oh, he's not going straight and narrow.
No, he's not straight, legit.
No, and that's what she says to him when he first comes in that room when they're talking. He said something like, when he said, this needs to be legit. And he's like, and she's like, I made this business bulletproof. So I think what she means by that is I can do whatever the hell I want because I got everybody in our pockets. Like
you can all the families,
whatever you want. Yeah. You can do whatever the cops, the families, everybody, like everybody's in our pocket right now. You can do whatever you want. I think that's what she means. The interesting thing though is the cops don't like him. And they said in the show, when he loses the cops, he loses the city. And the way the commissioner talked to him and the way he freaking bullies him, oh man, this is going to come back for sure.
It's going to come back tenfold on him.
Yeah. And I like the way they use the bullseye trial to, well, not the bullseye trial. Yeah, the bullseye trial to, well, and Fisk becoming mayor and him using that as like this vigilante quest that he's on now, trying to take Daredevil down.
Right.
And they wind up catching the White Tiger by chance because he's just trying to help people. And at that point, he wasn't being the White Tiger. He was just actually being a good person.
Right.
Trying to help somebody. And oh man, this is all crazy, dude. This is all going to be crazy.
Yeah. Because that subway fight, the White Tiger was just trying to help somebody. And he didn't know the guy was an undercover cop or anything like that. And he winds up pushing him. Cops. No. And he winds up pushing the guy across, accidentally pushing the guy off the railroad track or kicking him. And a train came. And I'm like, I told my wife, I said, I didn't see that coming at all. I was not expecting that.
Hell no.
And then, you know, you're just as shocked as he is. And then Matt's going to try and represent him.
Yeah, and, which is super.
And you know what, though? This is something that I was just thinking about, though, too, was like maybe Fisk manipulated some of the stuff inside the subway system to where, you know, they couldn't look at the footage or anything inside the subway station.
Not only that, I think he's going to buy the judge off. I think he's going to try to buy a judge. And like, just that's, like, it's guilty no matter what. Like, you have to say guilty.
But let's talk about Fisk and Matt, that whole entire conversation that they had at the diner.
Oh, I like how
Matt's like,
the heat.
He's standing outside waiting on Fisk and goes, I need to talk to you. I'm like, oh shit, what's Matt about to do? And then they walk over to the diner and I like how Fisk is like, I always like this place. He goes, I liked it too. And such and such place is better. But mm-hmm. I like this whole entire confrontation is like, he knows that he's Daredevil. He knows he's the Kingpin. There's no more secrets.
Nothing there. Yeah, there's no secrets there. Yeah.
I love how Matt, looks like you lost some weight. And Fisk is like, you could definitely tell Fisk was about to go in and lay on him. He goes, wait. I'm just trying to compliment you. You lost some weight. You got some muscle going. You look good.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a freaking great conversation. It really is. The dialogue is perfect because Matt Murray, he's like, look, I'm not threatening you, but I'm threatening you.
I'm just giving you some friendly advice.
Yeah. Like just don't do anything crazy. I don't trust you and I won't have to put the suit back on. But if you make me put the suit back on, I'm going to put the suit back on. Like,
right. It's like a professional courtesy, like they would say in John Wick.
Mm-hmm. This is freaking Superman and Lex Luthor. I mean, yeah, this is that one dude that he has that it's that freaking businessman, you know, tycoon with all the freaking money that is, yeah. I love their relationship because it's so crazy already from the first three seasons and now this.
Right.
Dude, them being in the MCU is insane in the first place.
It is. And I want to talk about this, though, too. Like, with Fisk, he's like, well, there's not going to be no more vigilantism. I'm going to arrest anyone that's going to be a vigilante. No more little Spider-Man climbing up the walls. No more, what's the other superhero that he uses as an example?
He says devil in Hell's Kitchen, and then he talks about Spider-Man.
And he also talks about the Punisher too. No one wearing skulls on their shirt.
Yeah. Yes, he does. Yeah. You're right. He does.
And so he thinks that he's untouchable at this point because he won. So it has this little pay-per-view match promo. If you think about it, it's like, look, if there's boundaries that are going to be crossed, I'm going to go on ahead and I'm going to take you down no matter what. They have like this understanding with each other. This kind of reminds me of De Niro and Al Pacino in Heat, where
this is Heat. Oh, it's 100% Heat. Yeah. 100%. 100%. That moment in the diner is that meeting between them in the diner or a little restaurant, whatever. Yeah.
Right.
It's the same thing for sure.
And then the other thing I liked is the color schemes that they used whenever Fisk won the election is he's dressed up in white. He's up on the building. Then you have Matt down in the street looking up at him with the neon flashing red. The color scheme was pretty cool to see that.
Yes, 100%. And it almost feels like they're looking at each other. Like they're like, you know, obviously they're not, but it almost feels like they are.
It does feel that way. I thought for sure that they were looking at each other, just the way it was shot, but.
I know. Cause he's looking up and he's looking down and it's like, they're just kind of feels like they're like looking at each other.
You know what it kind of reminds me of though too is like Fisk is up here, right? So in order for you, you have to look up to him.
Yeah.
While he has to look down to Matt because he thinks his Matt is something small.
Yeah, the perspective would be weird, but yeah.
But then we get this other.
It's still a great shot, though. It's still well
done. I loved it. Yeah. What did you think of Matt's apartment? Because I know some people are like, oh, I don't really like it because it's not the Hell's Kitchen apartment or anything like that. He's now got some money with himself now, too. He's also got other colleagues now. He has a firm. He's got himself well established. He's even got.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The PI guy that saw him on the roof.
Yeah, I don't know about, I don't know. I mean, look, obviously I would love to have the old apartment back if they could, but he's moved on. Like he's moved on. He's at a different place in his life. He's got a nicer apartment. Like let him have it. Let him have something.
Right.
Let the dude have something. Like damn, like he's been through shit.
Cause even like this, we're not the same people that we were yesterday. People change.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. And he's trying to live more like a normal person too. That's the other thing. Like, I think it goes to that part of his, like, where he's at, is that he's trying to be more of a normal person.
Right.
The other was like a bat cave. You know, it was like his, like, you know what I mean?
It was kind of like a bachelor bachelor.
Because every time he was there, lights were off because he's blind, so he didn't need lights. Like, you know what I mean? So it's always dark in there. It's like, it was like his lair. It was like his, it was like his little, like,
But it was like a bachelor pad slash.
Oh, it was awesome. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not talking crap about it. Like, it
No. I'm just laughing at how you said it, though. Yeah. He's blind. He can't see shit, so he has the lights
on. Right. I mean, look.
I don't know why, but I think I'm blinking from Robin Hood Men in Tights. Almost. Oh, my God. But.
Mr. Robin, I'm over here.
You're back from the Crusades. So great. But yeah, anyways, off topic.
But, I'll quote that movie for 45 minutes if you want.
I love that movie. But anyways, back over to Daredevil.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it's, the writing is so good in this show.
It is.
I think my wife's like, I'm mad because they've killed Foggy. I said, to be honest with you, it adds character depth to him.
Oh, I'm immediately hooked. I'm immediately hooked from that. Yeah.
I said, I like the fact that we already have the emotional attachment to Foggy to where we can care about him. Cause if you go into this now, you know what I'm saying? And let's say that somebody didn't watch all the other seasons. It's like, okay, Foggy's dead. For us, it's like, oh my gosh, this is Matt's best friend.
Yeah.
And he died. And now because he died, he's going to go out on this killing spree to where he doesn't want anything to do with anything.
I'm glad he didn't go crazy from it. Yeah. I'm glad he didn't just put the suit on or put the dark suit on, the fucking black suit. If he put the black suit on, oh my God, we would have been in trouble. Cause then he just starts going nuts.
Right. But I think that's everything suit? I wanted to cover for episode one.
It is the black suit or is it the yellow suit?
I don't remember.
I'm trying to remember which one is the bad Daredevil. I think it's the yellow with the red. Not the black. I think it's the yellow with the, I don't remember now.
I don't know.
I don't remember. I want to see that. I hope we get that suit at some point. The yellow, the all yellow with the red horns.
Right. We actually had that in, we actually had the yellow one over at She-Hulk.
Yeah, for a minute, but.
Yeah,
I want him to go full fucking devil. When he drops it there and goes full devil.
But yeah, that's everything I wanted to cover for episode one, but episode two was just as good.
Yes. Yes, it was. Cause I think episode one kind of cleans up everything from the other shows and kind of puts us where we're at in this world. And then episode two puts us where we're going to go with this. Yeah. Going into the
right future. Because
it was a great setup.
If you think about it, it's like episode one is like, yeah, we're going to go on ahead and show you what the tone's going to be. Like if you were afraid what the tone was, we're going to give you a rooftop scene because you know, you love your rooftop battles. We are going to bring back, all the characters that you love, but we're going to get rid of one of them. They gave us the promise of giving back our characters, but they didn't say what they were going to do with those characters.
No.
But I like where they're going with it. And then, you know, you also have Bullseye back in it for that small cameo role.
Yep.
And now we're introduced to another character that's probably just going to be just as dangerous, if not more, you know, than Bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from Fisk. So let's talk about the whole fact that I like also too. I want to mention this. What did you think of Matt's new ability? What they did with his hearing? I thought it was very different than what they did in the Netflix series. I love how they did this. It seemed like his powers enhanced to where he can hear everything around him, where he can actually lock in on sounds and different things.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that would come with that just over time and with practice, you would be able to. Block out. I mean, it's how Superman does it with his superhero. He has to block out everything and tune in to certain places. So yeah, I mean, it would make sense. I obviously his is on a much smaller scale, but yeah. I mean, he's echolocating, right? I mean, that's how he sees, right? Basically.
Yeah. Yeah, basically echolocating and stuff like that. And also too, the sound waves is also what helps him with his abilities.
Yeah. So yeah, that would make sense. Again, with practice and time, yeah, it would make sense he would develop new ways to use it. So yeah, I didn't mind it. It was kind of cool the first time he showed it with the Foggy thing in the bar, how he's sitting at the bar first talking to, what's her name, kind of like flirting with her. But then when he goes outside the bar and Matt like kind of like tunes in and he's like going through and it's like zooms into Foggy, but like through the bar and he's like picking out the sounds and eliminating them. It was cool. It was really cool.
I think so too. And then I also like Matt's new love interest. I love the psychiatrist that he's seeing.
Yeah.
The flirtation between the two of them. It works.
Yeah, it works.
So I thought that was actually pretty fun to see him have another love interest besides Karen. And I just love the chemistry between the two of them. I think it's really good. But you're right about one thing though. Nobody on the police force likes Fisk. He goes over to the funeral where one of the police officers were killed. And the commissioner goes, you know what? You think you're fooling people, but you're not. And he doesn't even call him Fisk. He calls him Kingpin later on whenever they're about to lock off.
Yeah, right.
Because anyways, good talk, Kingpin. But
yeah,
he's like, no one's going to bend the knee for you.
People know him as Kingpin. Like, it's not like it's a secret. So,
right. But I like how he's like, no one's going to bend the knee for you. No one's going to do any. You don't have the cops. The cops don't have your back. Because remember in season 2, I think it was, whenever he had all the cops in his pocket and then Matt and them cleaned house with all the police officers.
Yeah.
So, or maybe it was season 3. But aside from that, though, I thought it was really good on how now the cops don't want to even deal with Fisk because of how he is. And
which
would
make sense.
Yeah.
Which is a wonder. How the hell did he win this vote, man? That goes back to your question earlier. How the hell did he win this vote?
I'm thinking that either Vanessa paid for it, which I don't think that's possible because there's a separation between the two of them.
Or he paid people off. He could have paid people off.
Or blackmailed somebody.
Right.
Because we're going to get into this other thing now with the commissioner. He comes in the office eating, and you see him eating a sub sandwich. And he's like, he goes, you know that place, Gino's, this other po' boy place, the sub place. It's very good. Good restaurant. But there's one restaurant that's better. And it's this one right here. And when you see the camera angle drop down, you can see that it's actually the police commissioner's family eating the same sandwich that Fisk is eating.
Yep.
And
I mean, obviously he's breaking the law. I mean, that's 100%.
Blackmail? Yeah. Blackmail's legal in all 50 states, Tom.
That's what I mean. 100%. Like, it's not even a question. So it's weird how, I did think that was weird how he went from we had to be squeaky clean to I'm threatening the first person. Like literally the first person I have an issue with, I'm threatening them.
Well, think of it like this. Without the cops, he has nothing. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm just going to use this as an example. Like you get a promotion from McDonald's to be the manager. You have the title, but you don't have the pay raise or anything. So it's kind of like the same thing where, you know, you're the mayor, but you don't have anyone backing you.
Yep.
So you have some power, but you don't have enough power.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, so you're not going to do, I don't have any kind of power connections. So I got to figure out a way to get the cops on my side, and I have to figure out the way to break the commissioner. So I'm going to do something dirty.
Yeah. He had no choice.
Yeah, because he has a kid on the side that nobody knows about.
Mm-hmm. That's what it seemed like. It seemed like it was a kid that nobody knew about that he's been hiding, or not hiding, but like just doesn't.
Giving a secret.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll see you because before he's like, I'm going to turn my resignation papers in. And that's when Fisk says, well, before you do that, let me show you what over here.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, he walks off. And I love how he goes, the sub tastes like shit.
Yeah. Dude, he's so good. He's so good as Kingpin. He really is. He's freaking
amazing.
He's amazing, man. He's really pulling it off. That's the one thing he's been able to nail the entire time is the consistency of this character he's played. He's been able to knock it out, man. It's been really fun watching him play it. Cause it does seem like he's having fun.
He's having the best time of his life playing this.
He's gotta be, dude. He's gotta be. He's like just having fun being this asshole. Dude. Not even asshole. Like he's not an asshole. Like he's very respectful. Like, but
he's a respectful asshole.
But he is definitely a murderer. Like he's a killer. Like he is a killer and will kill you in a heartbeat. Like, and he doesn't care. Like, he does not give a shit.
He doesn't care. But here's the thing. He'll only kill you if it benefits him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Pretty much. Yeah.
It benefits him. He's going to find a way to finagle things around or if he's going to kill you. But if it doesn't benefit him or anything like that, then what's the point?
Right. No, it's true. 100%. He's good, man. He's really good. It's so fun watching him.
I do like seeing Ben Urich's daughter in this and her doing the reporting like Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. I picked that up too. Yeah. I like that. And I like that she went right at him and he's going to go after her for sure, right?
I think he's going to find a way to do it where it benefits him because think of it like this, okay? She's basically a social media influencer.
Yeah.
She's going to find a way, he's going to get her when she's most vulnerable. But also too, he also said that he doesn't want her back in his office again. Cause yeah. He also sees her as a threat.
Yeah.
But he could probably wind up using her to benefit him to where he can say, hey, look, this is now your big break. Now you work for me and you work with the ground that I walk on.
Basically, yeah.
And what I'll do is I'll pay you as an influencer for me to do my press conferences.
All becomes his like, press secretary.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
I could see that. This is going to be interesting, man. It's an interesting show. Do you think the Defenders are going to show up at some point? Do you think we're going to get at the end?
I did see the Punisher in the trailer. So he is going to show up at some point.
Yeah. But do you think we're going to get the other ones? Because they've already said they're here. Like, they're in this. I mean, obviously, they're in this world. So.
What do you mean, like, other ones? Like, other Punishers?
No. The Defenders.
The Defenders? I don't know that. I don't think we're going to get them in this season. Because I think that will overshadow what they're doing right now. Because think of it like this. We already got Punisher and Daredevil in this one universe right now. Mm-hmm. So it's all about building blocks and figuring out where you want them at. I'd love to see Jessica Jones come back and Luke Cage.
Jessica Jones. That was what I was going to say because, yeah, I want to see her back in it.
And, you know, another thing, too, is we actually see some cops with the tattoo of the Punisher logo.
Yeah.
Tattooed on them.
Yeah.
So I don't think Frank is going to like that too much.
No. Hell no.
No.
Hell no, dude. When John Bernthal turns on the freaking Punisher, man, it's going to be awesome.
It really is. And awesome. I'm excited they actually announced that they're doing a Punisher special.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I'm a huge Punisher fan.
Yeah, I'm super excited for that. I like Bernthal, too. So, yeah.
Same. At first, I like Thomas Jane as my Punisher, but
he's good. Yeah, he was good. Bernthal. No, he was. But I really like Bernthal. I think he really, yeah, that's a cool shot. That's a cool one. Yeah, but fuck, dude, he pulls that Shane out of him from Walking Dead and just freaking loses it. I love it.
I do too. Hands down,
my favorite Punisher. I love it because I watch his podcast or I listen to his podcast and he's such a nice, chill dude, like such a cool, chill ass dude, like just cool as shit. And
but the way he plays it off though with this in TV shows and stuff, he can be level headed, but at the same time, if you piss him off as a character, forget about it.
Dude, he's a legitimate scary dude. Like when he turns it on, he's a legitimately scary person. Like I would be like, nah, I'm not messing with you. Like get out of here.
Like, just like how Rick made him go into the barn on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Let me show you what they're hiding. There goes all the zombies inside the barn.
Yep.
You know, I still think that This show is fantastic for the first two episodes. It gave us a taste of what we're going to be getting in the future as far as this show goes. It still has the brutalness of it.
Yeah.
I do like, some people are like, well, it's kind of slow. Even season one of Daredevil is slow in some moments.
I didn't think it was slow at all. No. I thought it was great.
No, I thought the pacing was fine on it. Yeah.
Maybe you can say that diner scene is a little slow, but it's for a reason.
It's for a setup. They're setting a lot up there and establishing a lot. Like, for instance, everybody's like, well, I don't really like a lot of talkiness in my comic book movies or shows.
What?
But here's the thing. You have to have that because it adds more reason as to why they would go after each other. And also, too, without that scene, it doesn't establish the fact that Vanny, being a vigilante, is illegal now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't think it was slow at all. I thought the pacing was great. I thought everything was, I thought it was really well done.
Same.
Like I said, there's little tiny things I could nitpick about, but overall, it's an easy 9 out of 10 for me. I mean, it's up there.
Yeah, the first two episodes are great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's everything I wanted to cover as far as episodes 1 and 2 goes.
I was trying to think, I don't know if there's anything else that happens at the,
We covered the blackmail with the police commissioner. We covered the tattoo thing with the Punisher. We also knocked out Foggy getting killed, Karen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we didn't really cover the White Tiger that much.
Yeah, he kind of showed him just as like a random vigilante, kind of picking up for Daredevil, I guess, kind of taking the slack for Daredevil since he, you know, retired basically. So. Yeah, I mean, they didn't really show much of him, but I mean, it would make sense. I think it's very convenient he happens to be the guy that's on trial. I think it would have been a little more impactful if it wasn't that dude specifically, but I don't mind it either.
Well, even the PI's like, of course you would be on this guy's side because you are a vigilante.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Matt's like, look, that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because this guy's innocent and I know he's innocent.
He's like, goes, he's innocent. That's what he says to him. He's like, you know, I know he's innocent.
Right. Because he knows he has those special abilities.
Yeah.
But like he says, there's a difference between knowing that somebody's innocent and and proving that somebody's innocent.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
So you cannot just say this person's innocent.
And here's the other thing this sets up. So not only does this set up Fisk and Matt in a way where they're both going against the cops in a way. Well, Fisk is hated by the cops. And Matt is now going against cops, basically, and what everybody thinks, at least.
Right.
And then you have them pitted against each other as Daredevil and Kingpin. So, dude, this is going to be a crazy show, it seems like. They're setting
it really is. Cool I'm excited shit. To see what we're going to get. And also, too, you know how we mentioned the cops and stuff. Mm-hmm. Without the cops being on his side, he can't arrest.
Who are they going to side with? They're going to split.
Well, hold on. He can't arrest Matt for being Daredevil if he doesn't have the cops on his side.
Right.
So therefore he needs them on his side.
And nobody else knows he's Daredevil.
What's that?
Or nobody else knows he's Daredevil.
No. Oh, let's talk about this other scene though too, where Matt winds up finding the witness.
Oh yes. That was a fun scene. That was really cool actually. Yeah. He kicks the shit out of them dudes.
Yeah, I like how he goes, please don't hurt me. Please don't do this. Please don't do this.
And yeah, I don't know. I don't think he was saying, please don't hurt me. I think he was saying, please don't do this to yourself. Like, don't make me do this to you.
Right.
I'm about to destroy both of you. And then he does.
Because he's about to be making a mistake because he winds up kicking both of the cops' asses.
Oh my God, dude. He destroyed them. And real quick, like that was fast.
That's how we know that there was a Punisher tattoo on one of them because Matt happened to feel across their hand or something like that to know that was a tattoo. But I like how the witness was able to get away. You know, so now we actually have someone that can represent the whole entire thing in court, but it kind of reminds me of that one of season two where they were trying to get that one witness And this winds up finding him and killing him. Not a witness, but that one person involved.
Well, if it's not Fisk, somebody else.
Right.
I don't think Fisk had anything to do with it, with Foggy getting killed.
No, no. He acted on his own intentions, but I was just saying how...
For the trial. I'm sorry, I got it confused.
Okay. I'm just saying how...
For the trial. Yeah, no, he definitely might kill this dude. He definitely might kill this dude. For sure. This is going to split the cops, and I'm really interested to see how they play that part out.
Same here, because now we got corrupted cops with cops that are legit leaving.
Because the smartest thing Fisk can do is be like, no, I'm standing behind the cops here. Like, no matter what the evidence is, I'm standing behind the cops. Like,
right.
That would at least get people that don't know, you know, whatever, maybe, you know, any people that would be on his side at least.
I can see that.
Cause this is career suicide for Matt Murdock if he's not right. Like, if he can't prove it. Like, it's career suicide.
Right. And it's going to take Fisk probably to pull some strings to where it looks like that Matt's talking out of his ass.
Yeah. Or he plans.
Where he loses his whole entire thing that he built.
He uses the girl to plant stories about who Daredevil is.
That's genius. I can see that going that way.
He uses her to plant the stories about who Daredevil is, and then they find out. Ooh. And then they find out, because remember the judge ruled that they have to block out the fact that he's a vigilante, he's the White Tiger?
Yeah.
As evidence. But if they find out Matt Murdock is a fucking, is Daredevil, and he's the White Tiger, and he's defending him, oh, that's going to blow up.
That is.
Oh, man. Oh, this could
and
be really
there
fun.
Goes his whole entire thing that he built for the firm on.
Yeah.
There goes his reputation. He loses everything. Because in Daredevil Born Again, the comics, he's on bankruptcy and stuff like that. The IRS freezes his accounts.
Oh, shit.
And stuff. So this could be another one of those things that happens. Even though the story might be a little bit different from what the comics are, but it could go down that way.
But yeah, for sure. So you think?
Because I'm actually rereading Born Again.
Financially destroys him, like financially, just turn him off. Just turn him off.
And that's all he would have left is just Daredevil at that point, and that would be his breaking point.
Oh, and then if he gets exposed on top of it, oh man, it could be. Oh God, I want to see. Oh, I hope they do that.
I hope so too.
I wouldn't really do a character.
But I've been rereading Born Again.
Okay.
And that's where I've been speculating on certain things. Foggy is still alive in the comics as far as the story goes. So far.
Yeah.
But it's been a while since I've read the comics, so I was like, you know what? I want to go on ahead and pick it back up. But that's what winds up happening at like the first issue is all that stuff I mentioned.
Yeah.
But all in all, great first start for episodes 1 and 2 of Daredevil. Tell us in the comments, what was some of your moments that you loved from the show? What movie, what parts didn't you like from Daredevil Born Again? Did you find that the intro was probably a little slow? Did you like the pacing of it? Did you like this? Was the CGI a little too much for you, like it was for me a little bit on that rooftop scene? Tell us in the comments below. We would like to know your thoughts on Daredevil Born Again, episodes 1 and 2. We would really like to know that. Also, too, Don will be back with me again on Thursday night. I had some stuff that happened last week that I had to push that show over. So we're doing episodes 1 and 2 tonight, and then after that it's going to continually be on Thursday night. So it'll be at 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern time. Don, I know you have some stuff that you have going on your channel, so anything you want to pitch?
Not really pitch, but yeah, just check out the Game and Gilda guys. We are doing stuff over there. We are planning stuff behind the scenes to add more stuff, but right now there's some streams over there and shorts we have up, so check us out. We are building something.
Okay.
I'm Jedi Master Chop, though.
It's right there on the...
Hey. I'm dyslexic. That's right. Do that.
It's okay.
Do that.
And also, too, make sure you guys get some merch from the WWE store. Use code WWE29. That's also going to be in the description of this video and also the audio-only podcast as well. So go ahead, get your stuff today. And that's going to be it as far as this review goes. Thanks, Don. I do appreciate you coming in to do these reviews with me. It means so much to me to have you back.
Always. Oh, no, man. You know I love talking nerdy stuff with you, man. We always have fun.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it. I hope that everyone enjoyed this show. And we are going to be out in a few minutes as soon as I can find the right button to push. Here we go.
What's in the box?
Hit the button. Hit the button. And we are out, guys. Bye-bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.